The intolerant left, Cincinnati Bengals' Chad Ocosinko, tweets that he's reading a book by Glenn Beck. What is the reaction to that? We'll talk about the intolerance on the left. We'll also get into the FCKH number 8 campaign, otherwise known as the Bleep Hate campaign. It's basically trying to make gay marriage legal across. We're going to talk about gay marriage. We're going to talk about my ideas of what should be done and why the gay marriage campaigns are just doing it all wrong. We'll also get into, talk to Scott Lanner. He is the guy that makes this sound.
The Zach Halverson program.
He's going to be on a little bit as well. He's going to talk about his history in radio. He started out young, just as I am, and I'm going to get his opinions on different stuff because he was a very, very prominent radio host in his area of, I think it was Mount Arab, Ohio. Took his rating skyrocketed. It was great. We're going to talk about that right here on the Zach Halverson program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. A beautiful day as opposed to last week when we had like 300 degree temperatures and we were all dying. It's a nice sunny day here in Minnesota. I hope it's good where you are. I know that heat wave that hit us last week got into the east. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I would rather have temperatures 30 below rather than having, you know, 100 degree 117 degree heat indexes and things like that. Because how many people actually die, in the cold? I mean, as opposed to the warm. I mean, you can always put more layers on, and there's like coat places like Salvation Army. You can buy coats and stuff like that. But if you're outside and that humidity, that heat, you got very little chance to live. So we're going to talk to Scott Lanner. He's going to call in a little bit, hopefully relatively shortly, and we'll talk to him. We'll see what his story is, because it's really relatively similar to mine and Caden Cowger of the Caden Cowger program. I want to get into this story of the Cincinnati Bengal, Chad Ocosinko. This guy, I have in the past not been a fan of him. I just thought the whole changing the name of from Chad Johnson to Chad Ocosinko, not the classiest, I guess you could say, not the most mature way of handling his dispute. But I did gain a lot of respect for him. What we've seen in the media today, and we're seeing it on both sides, no doubt, but we're seeing this whole Fox News has to go. If you look at, like, Media Matters, groups like that where they're trying to get Fox to go off the air. And it's the classic left way of handling things. You shut down the other side, and I'm sorry, that's very much like communism, and they wonder why, you know, we call the left communists sometimes, and that's why. Because they go down to, they try to shut down Fox News, they try to shut down the other side. Teachers will tell some idiot in the class who's standing up for the right to shut up and not to talk, and it's ridiculous how against free speech these people are, and they bring up this, oh, they're dangerous, they're lying, they're whatever, when they're not dangerous, but they try to get people into this mindset instead of just saying, we don't like their viewpoint, we don't want them on the airwaves because they go against their viewpoint, against our agenda, and they're actually the other side. This is a perfect example of why the left is more intolerant than the right as far as media goes. If you look, basically the story is, it was a very innocent, simple tweet that said, reading, I'm going to try to find the exact quotes from it, but basically it said, I'm reading Glenn Beck's book. Glenn Beck's views on economic issues are epic. And It was very, it was, Glenn Beck's amazing, Glenn Beck's awesome. I agree with everything he said. It was just very simple. I like what I'm reading. And the reaction to it was it was believable, to be honest with you, because that's just how it is. That's it always how it is with people. But here's the exact quote, tweet. It says, "Does anyone know if Glenn Beck has a Twitter account? Starting on his new book, Broke, his views on political and economical issues are in a hashtag epic." You know, that's a very innocent tweet. And I honestly, if it was the other way around, if he was reading a book by Keith Olbermann or Michael Moore, I don't think there would be that big of a issue in the world. The right would be like the Republicans, the people who are conservative on the that are following him on Twitter. I don't think there would be any kind of backlash against him like he received, because the tweet after it was the first one was from Steve Moorman, who said, "You are a conservative." And he said, "No, I'm not a conservative. I just wanted to see what all the fuss is about, so I'm reading it." He's looking at the other side, and I give him 100% respect for this. You know, he's not taking people at their word. He's actually reading the other side. And believe it or not, folks, you can read the other side. I go to Media Matters almost every day. It pisses me off, no doubt, but I make sure, you know, it's not always wrong. They were right on one issue. Laura Ingraham tied the Norwegian shootings to Muslim extremism, and that's just not true. So you know what? I do go there. I can understand that. I don't agree with taking the other side down. I just want to know when Fox is right and Fox is wrong. Fox was wrong there. I go to the Huffington Post almost every day. I've got the app downloaded on my smartphone. I read the columns from these liberal guys. I read Paul Krugman. And I try to keep my opinions in check so I know exactly what I believe in. 9 times out of 10, I'm completely against these things. But it's called checking yourself, making sure you are not going to with whatever one person says. I don't want you to take every single one of my words, and I don't want you to agree with everything I say because I'm saying it. I want you to agree with me because you've researched it by yourself, you've listened to the other side, and you understand that your opinions are the same as mine. That's what Ocho Cinco is doing here, folks. He's checking himself. He's reading the other side to see what exactly do these people believe, and why are they being called crazy. He then tweeted at Glenn Beck. He said, "Kind sir, I've seemed to piss off a lot of my fans by purchasing your book. Gonna read it while flying and see why they're mad." So now he's gonna see why all these people are mad, why all these people are tweeting, "Oh my gosh, this is awful." The username Deb Shalid, DebShleede, tweeted Ocho Cinco, "Unfollowing after 2 years because you are a Beck fan. Disgraceful and disappointing. You are going to unfollow him because you say he's a Glenn Beck fan, even though he's never said he's a Glenn Beck fan. He said he's reading Glenn Beck. He's reading the other side. You have probably, I'm just guessing, Miss, we'll just call you Deb. You probably watched MSNBC. You probably gone to Media Matters. You've probably gone to Huffington Post. I'm just assuming. And you've listened to all their side. You've never gone to the other side. And that's what I cannot stand about people who complain about Glenn Beck, who complain about Fox News, who complain about stuff like that when they've never actually watched it. And they think they have this idea because, you know what? The stuff that Media Matters puts out is 9 times out of 10, out of context. The Laura Ingraham thing linking the Muslim extremism to the Norwegian shootings, that is 100% wrong and not taken out of context. But there's a lot of stuff, and like I said, I go to Media Matters all the time. And all this, I watch this video and I think, first of all, completely out of context, completely wrong. What's you know, and then there's sometimes where like they put a video on and I listen to the whole thing and I watch it twice, three times. I'm like, what is wrong with this? It's all about making, it's about the media making Glenn Beck to be a complete enemy and just a evil man, and they're doing a good job of it, no doubt. I mean, you got a reaction like no other on Ocho Cinco from this, and it's just, it's sad. He says, Ocho Cinco says, gotten through three chapters in Glenn Beck's book, and so far everything he said is either common sense or his opinion is based off of his own research. Folks, I got the book right now. I'm looking at it. There is a huge, huge bibliography, if you will. I mean, there's sources, like, I don't know how many pages there are, but it's on the back, and they started doing this, I believe, with Arguing with Idiots, and there's this big thing where they got all the sources where they got from, and that's 100% true. And then he says, quote, "I don't agree with a lot of this crap." We'll just put crap in there. You know what I mean by crap. "I don't agree with all of this crap, but nonetheless, it's interesting reading the views and opinions from what I'd like to call the other side." You know, it's just, it's sad. You know, and then they got the people like saying, "Do you believe the president hates whites like Beck says he does?" And he replies, "That in the book, only economic issues so far, he said that." And, you know, it should be noted, yes, what he said about deep-seated hatred for white people, what Obama believed, that was wrong, obviously. He apologized for that. He took it back. You know, Keith Olbermann said he wished SC Cup got aborted, you know, things like that. You know, but you never hear about that. You never hear about that. It's all about the right. So I wish people would understand the intolerance is majority on the left because they can't handle the other side of the argument. Ocho Cinco is one of the few people. I mean, I believe he's friends with, like, Bill Clinton, things like that, but he's reading the other side, and I like it. I don't care if I disagree with him on everything. I don't care if he comes out of the book and says, you know what, I really don't agree with that. He's actually making an effort, and I give him 100% total props for that. And he tweeted about it, too. I mean, that's the thing, too. He tweeted about it. He didn't just read it and then not say anything. He came out, and I think he knew. You relatively know when you come out and tweet about something like that, that you're going to get some backfire. And he did it. He came out and said, you know what? I'm reading this. What do you guys think? And he got told what they think, for sure. So I did follow Ocho Cinco now on Twitter, and even though most of his tweets I could care less about, because I'm not a big fan of his, to be honest with you. I'm not a huge fan of Chad Ocho Cinco. I think I saw his show on Versus, I think that was him. It was him and Terrell Owens or something like that. But it's interesting. By the way, follow me at twitter.com/ZachHalverson, just how it's spelled. You can see in the bottom of the page here where my Twitter account is. Follow me there, please. I love. However, I will be making a new Twitter account specifically for this show and political opinions for me, because I do tweet a lot about hockey. So if you don't like hockey, don't come to the show. I want to also get into what I believe is the solution, or not a solution, but a little helpful reminder with gays and the people who are trying to get gay marriage going. And that's going to go on, I think, the second half hour of the show. And we're going to get it done. The number is 651-964-2589, 651-96-HALVEY. My email is zachhalverson@hotmail.com. I want your opinions on this. So again, 651-964-2589. We'll take calls, and we'll talk about what do you think? I mean, if you're on the Ocho Cinco fan side and you say this is absolutely awful, I want to know why. I want to know why, and I want to know why why it's so awful that you read the other side. So I want to know why about that, and I want to know a few other things. So again, 651-964-2589. 2589 is the number. So yeah, like I said, we'll get into that. We'll get into a lot of things. We are going to get into a lot of things. We'll take a quick break though. I'll catch my breath. I'll try to get a hold of Scott, and we'll get things moving from there. This is the Zach Helverson program on ZH Radio with Bad Meets Evil. It's from their album Hell, the sequel. It's Lighters featuring Bruno Mars and Royce da 5'9" along with Eminem. We'll take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Zach Helverson program.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
Time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap canes, nibble is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you c***s are slick. Popping s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you c***s trying to kid? Flip, you did opposite, you stayed the same. Back with this tilt, you I love it when I tell them shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall sat busted like Buster, cause he couldn't cut mustard, muster up, nothing brain fuzzy, cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzzing. Now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzards circled around his head, waiting for him to drop dead, was it? Or was it cause them just wrote him off, little hussy ass cousins? I guess it doesn't matter now, does it? What difference it make? What's it take to get it through your thick skulls at this age? Some bullshit people don't usually come back this way. From a place it was dark as I was in just to get to this place. Now let these words be like a switchblade to a hater's ribcage. And let it be known that from this day forward I wanna just say thanks. Cause your haters what gave me the strength. So let them pigs raise. Cause I came in 5'9", but I feel like I'm 6'8".
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams.
I'll probably already be outie. I advance like going from toting. I ain't going and buying 4 or 5 of the homies to Iron Man Audi. My daddy told me, slow down, boy, you're going to blow it. And I ain't gotta stop to beat a minute to tell Shady I love him the same way that he did Dr. Dre on the chronic. Tell him how real he is, or how high I am, or how I would kill for him to know it. I cried plenty tears.
It's the Zach Helverson program. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 651-964-2589. 651-96-HELVY is our number. We're going to be joined now by Scott Lanert. He is what I would call the voice of the Zach Helverson program. As far as we're going to get more stuff from Scott, I actually got some money now last week. So, Scott, I will be contacting you shortly for a new introduction. But I'd like to first of all say thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you, Zach.
Thanks, Scott. And just so the listeners know, you are the same guy that makes this possible here. Hold on a second. There we go.
The Zach Helverson program.
That's so cool. I love doing that. let's start off with you. You and I really are pretty similar in the fact that we both kind of knew what we wanted to be when we were really young, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. I knew from the time I was a little boy. I used to be fascinated listening to the radio and hearing a voice come out of the speakers. And so, but it wasn't until high school that it actually hit me that this is what I really needed to do. And mainly it was out of spite that I did it. It was a high school teacher that I had, and I used to sit in a study hall every day, and I would talk constantly, just talk constantly. And finally, he said, "Mr. Ladder," he said, "why don't you shut your mouth?" And I said, "I can't." And he said, "You ought to be on the radio." And so anyway, then after the study hall, he said, by the way, he said, "I was half serious when I said that." So I said, "Oh, yeah?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But then again," he said, "you probably don't have what it takes." Well, that was the spark then that caused me, after the school day ended that day, I headed straight to the radio station. Here I am, you know, just a kid. I'm only 16 years old, and I said, I need an application. I want to fill out an application. So I went ahead and filled out that application. The program director met with me, and he had told me, I can still see the look on his face. He just kind of had a smile on his face the whole time. And later he had told me, he said, "I thought honestly it was a joke being played on me that you wanted to apply here." But he had told me at the end of the day, he said, "Keep in contact with me, and we'll see if we can find you a slot open." Well, I contacted him every single day after I got home from school. And he also later admitted that he finally got tired of me calling, and that's the reason why he hired me. That's how it all started.
Persistence, huh?
Yeah, and it paid off, too.
Yeah. Hearing you talk about, you know, listening to the radio, and, you know, I was actually, I don't know if anybody, not many people know this, but I was syndicated in my own house via my karaoke machine when I was 6 years old. I would literally just listen to myself talk, and they had a tape recorder in it, and I would record shows on there whenever, like, a friend or a cousin would come over. I'd interview them, and it's just funny how everybody who I've met in the radio industry has similar stories where they would listen to the radio almost every day. They just had this passion for it, and I think that's just kind of cool to have, you know, other people be kind of like me. You know, I'm not necessarily weird. I'm just I'm normal for what I'm doing. And, you know, you obviously were 16 years old, and this is before the advent of the internet. So, you know, you couldn't just go out and get your own show. You had to go to a radio station. Can you talk about the differences between radio then, between now, radio now, where almost anybody can start up their own podcast or radio show?
Well, there are some positive aspects about the internet, but it's kind of taken the specialty, the excitement out of traditional radio to me. And also, at the same time, most of your internet radio stations are automated, unfortunately. So are most traditional radio stations as well, which was one of the reasons why I saw the writing on the wall and decided to branch out on my own. I remember 15 years ago, I was sitting in the on-air studio, and they brought this computer in, and I didn't know what it was. And I said, "What's that? What do we need a TV in the studio for?" They said, "That's not a TV, that's a computer." And I said, "Well, what's the computer for?" And they said, "Well, you'll see, it's going to make everybody's job so much easier." And I said, "You'll never replace the human." And how wrong I was. And when I saw that they were eliminating people overnights, and then in the evenings it was going automated, I thought, the writing is on the wall here. We're all out of jobs soon. I better find something else to do. Well, talking is the only thing that I know how to do. So I branched out and started in my own voiceover business. And at that time, it was still hard to find radio stations to contact who were actually on the web or had an email address. You know, 15 years ago, most people didn't know what an email address was. And so anyway, but fortunately, that has grown, and that has helped me to keep bread and butter on my table, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm also very thankful for the people who taught me and had the patience to teach me the ways of broadcasting, because I knew nothing. I absolutely knew nothing when I first got into this business. It's a fascinating business to be in, and I think it's nice that people are starting internet stations, because it gives them some experience. I also believe now, and I've only come to this conclusion in the last 6 months, that an internet radio station can compete with a traditional radio station if they will stop focusing on the world. And what I mean by that is Most of your internet broadcasters, immediately they want to brag about being worldwide. I couldn't give a flip if somebody's listening to me in China. That's nothing against people in China. But if I was running a radio station online, the first thing I would do is focus on my city, because that's where the advertisers are going to be to pay for that stream that you're going to have to have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge mistake that internet broadcasters are making today. They focus on the world. People in China are not going to patronize those businesses that you're trying to get for advertisers in your city. Mm-hmm. Promote your station in your city. Market the thing in your city. You'll get the advertisers in your city, and you'll turn a profit with that radio station. Mm-hmm. You've just got to put programming on there that appeals to people. And I'm not talking about a glorified jukebox either. It's fine if you want to play music on an internet radio station, but everybody's doing it.
Right.
Well, if everybody's doing it, why are you doing the same thing everybody else is doing?
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you go on, you know, all these, you know, there's multiple websites that have, like, I think one of them is like Shoutcast or something.
Mm-hmm.
You go to these places, their directories of all these internet radio stations, and I've done tons of research on this. And, you know, all these stations, I mean, there's software out there, kind of what the actual music terrestrial radio stations use, that is completely automated music. And I just don't know who's going to exactly listen to that, and it just seems kind of like a, I don't know, I don't want to say waste of money, but, you know, when you're not... when you have so much choice out there from, like, iTunes, and heck, if you look at YouTube, for example, you can find almost any song on YouTube now that you want to listen to. And I don't I don't think music radio stations streaming is really going to be that big anymore, especially with the advent of other stuff like that.
And well, that's where internet broadcasters need to find a niche in their community. And let me give you an example, if I may.
Sure.
At a small market station that I worked for. By the way, small market radio is the most fun you'll ever have in radio. Trust me on this. Mm-hmm. Small market radio, you do anything and everything in order to cater to the community in which you live. And at the small market radio station that I worked for, we had a buy, sell, and trade program that we aired for a half an hour every morning from 9 until 9:30. And people could call in on the air, and if they had chickens for sale, they could sell those chickens on the air. Yeah, they'd just give their phone number, and it was extremely successful. And then at 9:30, we had a talk show that aired from 9:30 until 12 noon, and I was the host of the talk show. And this is on an FM radio station. You wouldn't think of having a talk show on an FM radio station, but, and I'm not bragging on myself by any means, but because we were serving the community, from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. was the highest listen-to point of any day part in the day. The highest listen-to part. And it was because we were catering to the community. We used to air basketball games, football games, and then one salesperson sat in a meeting one day and he said, "What would you guys think about broadcasting bowling on Saturday mornings?" And I said, "You've got to be kidding me. Bowling. I've never heard of airing bowling on Saturday mornings." First off, the acoustics were absolutely incredible. You could hear every pin as the ball hit the pins. And I said, "I don't know anything about calling out bowling or anything. It's not like a basketball game or a football game. It's not play by play. How do you do that?" So one gentleman, he said, "Well, I bowl every week in a league." And he said, "I'm telling you, the leagues would really like that." And we ended up with 35 sponsors every Saturday morning with live bowling on the air on an FM station.
And that's unheard of. I mean, I've never actually heard bowling on the radio. I mean,
it made it in all the Cincinnati papers. It made it, and we didn't even broadcast in Cincinnati. We're three counties away from Cincinnati, but they got wind of it, and so they did a piece on it. And then when that broke, then the TV station started showing up. They wanted to do a story on it as well. Mm-hmm. And then we would have people calling in from Cincinnati asking, "Can you put me on hold so I can listen to your bowling?"
Really?
Yeah, because they couldn't hear it live on the air. And these were, so, I mean, it was extremely successful. All these little things gave us our niche in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of live broadcasts as well that we did from businesses.
You know, you talked about internet radio stations being able to compete with regular radio stations. And I think about, you know, when you go to YouTube, a lot of these regular YouTubers, if you will, they'll have millions of people watching their content almost every day. Mm-hmm. And if you think about, you know, that's how many people are on the internet now that there no doubt that you could, you know, especially in smaller markets, maybe not like a big market like, well, when I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, probably not. But if you are in a smaller market, there's no doubt that you could start a radio station, an internet radio station that could compete. And, you know, I've thought about that, and I thank you for being a second person that's thought of that, because, you know, it can happen now. And I think there's going to be a lot more content on the internet that's going to be almost better than radio. And I don't want to take away from FM and AM radio, because I still love those services. I love radio stations like that. But, you know, I think the internet is a new medium, and I think it's probably going to be the least impacted if, you know, the government decides to exert its power more over the media. Internet's going to be the one that's going to be least affected, because it would be so difficult. But, you know, if I went to, well, our radio station in Minneapolis is KTLK, and if I'm a government official and I threaten stuff, you know, they're going to be able to, I think the government would have a significant power over it.
Sure.
Could take control. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm going to say if it does happen, because it has happened in the past. I mean, how many movies are made over, you know, Nazi Germany? I'm not saying that government's going to do that, but it's very common in history of the media being taken control by the government, and it'd be so hard unless they completely shut down the internet in the United States to take, you know, the internet away from people. So it's a cool new medium, and you know, but you know, when you talk about the small market radio stations, let's talk about you, Scott. Where did you, I guess, start off on your daily program? And I want you to talk about what the ratings were on your show. I mean, I heard they were remarkable.
Yeah. Well, again, it was the highest day, or the highest rated day part by the time I left, and it remained number one. It remained number one among all the stations in the area during my tenure. The gentleman that took it over, he kind of let management push him around a little bit. Right. Management saw an opportunity to bring advertisers in to talk about their services during the talk show. Well, that's not what it was intended for. No. And ratings just fell in the basement within 6 months after I was gone. It wasn't because I was gone. It was because of the content. We kept it mainly political. It was a political talk show. I mean, this goes back days before Rush Limbaugh. I remember the first time I heard that name, I didn't know it was a person, and I said, "What is a Rush Limbaugh?" I thought it was an object. Yeah. And so anyway, someone said, "Oh, he's a talk show host." So I went ahead and I tuned him in just to see what he was doing, and I thought, well, he's doing nothing any different than I've been doing, and except he's not quite as vocal as I am about some things. I call a spade a spade, and sometimes he kind of holds back a little bit. But when you're a nationwide talk show host, you kind of have to do that to a degree. We had a little more leeway on the local level. We used to call politicians live on the air without warning. They didn't know we were calling, and so they dared not refuse our call, or else they got bombarded with phone calls asking why they were dodging the local talk show host. So if they wanted reelected, boy, they took our calls. We had an extreme amount of power back then, but this goes back to the 1980s. Many of the things that we did back then, you would never do today. But we had such a rapport with a local congressman, and he's a U.S. Senator now, Senator Rob Portman.
Okay.
He was our congressman, and we had an incredible rapport with that man from the time that he worked in the Bush White House, Bush One, and so he used to call us from the House floor when a vote was being taken, and let us know exactly what was happening on the floor, and so he handled us. We didn't handle him. He handled us. perfectly and kept that good rapport.
Well, that's good. You know, and you connect. One problem that I've seen in radio now is the amount of national programming that there is. You know.
Oh yeah, there's very little local programming anymore.
You know, in Minneapolis, we had we used to have like a guy by the name of Jason Lewis. Mm-hmm. And this guy was a very, very local guy. He was at KSTP for a while. He left, and he came back, and he was on our FM News Talk station. And next thing you know, Premier Radio Networks, the people that syndicate, like Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Glenn Beck, they took him national. So now he's national. He's doing a show from Minneapolis, but there's no really Minneapolis local programming anymore, except for the morning few hours that they have. I think it's like from 6 to 9 with Bob Davis. And mm-hmm. I see things like that, and I think, you know, there's a lot of local stuff that I could have used, you know, that I could have known about, you know, from the Minnesota government shutdown to other things like that. And when you only have a few hours in the morning, when you could probably spend a whole day talking about that with different hosts and getting different opinions, and I think that is a major problem in talk radio now, is the national side. And you were talking about your local, you know, small market radio, and I think that's one thing that's really killed talk radio, is the lack of local programming. So I mean,
we have two talk stations. They're both AM outlets here in Cincinnati, and but very rare do I ever hear them address a local issue when they're in local programming. They have local programming in the morning, then they go to the nationally syndicated programs, such as Limbaugh and Hannity in the afternoon. And I'm thinking, why in the world are they focusing on the same issues that are going to be addressed by Limbaugh and Hannity today? Why? There's 50 to 75 issues today that they could be talking about in Cincinnati that people actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the national guys handle the national stuff. Let the local guys handle the local stuff. But nobody's doing that anymore. It's kind of sad, really, to see the way radio has gone.
It is. I mean, it used to be a great entertainment and knowledge medium because, you know, yes, it is very knowledge. I mean, you learn a lot, but, you know, it used to be entertaining because you used to talk about, you know, very, very local issues. Now you are hearing about stuff that's happening in California when you're like, you know, that's not affecting me. You know, it's not affecting you primarily. And so, I don't know, I think that's one of the things that has gone wrong about talk radio. And like you said, when you saw the computer, I mean, that's just the beginning of nationally syndicated radio. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying Limbaugh is a bad thing. Hannity, I'm not saying these national radio shows are bad. I'm just saying there needs to be a limit here, and there needs to be much more local stuff in almost everywhere. Almost every radio station could probably do more local stuff. But, you know, like you said, it's a money situation, and it's much cheaper to do a national syndicated program than pay a guy a full salary for, you know, a year or whatever it is.
It's also laziness.
Right.
It's a lot easier to put a I started to say a record on a turntable, but a CD in than it is to do something creative with your programming. I can't remember the FCC chairman or who was FCC chairman at the time when music first started gaining in popularity among the AM stations. But he said he called it Tatters of Jive and Boogie Woogie. It's even more true today than it was back then, because he said it was a wasteland. The radio had become a wasteland and lost its purpose, mm-hmm. which was to inform. And I honestly don't know how a lot of these radio stations keep their license. In your public file, you have to keep a record of all of the things that you're doing to serve the community. Well, how is playing music 24/7 a service to the community?
Right.
You're not informing. There's that is in no way, shape, or form for informing the public of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're there just simply to exist for the emergency broadcast system that mm-hmm. that does its weekly tests, it's a complete waste.
You know, and I think. You know, I've gone in situations where, actually, this happened a few months ago. KWB, the top 40 station here that plays, you know, the latest hits, I guess you could say. They're located in St. Louis Park. And a couple months ago, a tornado ripped through Minneapolis. And I got a tweet from a guy that was actually working there at the time. And he looked out his window, and he saw this tornado forming. But on music stations, they never do weather reports or weather things like, oh, well, you know, tornado warning issued for, you know, Hennepin County or something like that. And I think they're, you know, yeah, you are exactly right on that part. I think they're mainly there for entertainment, but there does have to be an informative part to it. And I think if you see a tornado forming outside your studio, you probably should say something. But he, as far as I know, he never did it, you know, and that's a big deal, too, because you need to be there to at least inform one on weather and things like that. And when you're not even doing that, that's sad. I want to get into your opinions. You are blood Republican, correct? I mean, is what I'm getting.
Solid. I make most conservatives look very liberal.
Yes. And I mean, in just in conversations with you, it's just, I'm probably, yeah, like you said, I'm probably liberal compared to you. I mean, you are everything. I want your, I guess, I don't want to get into too much stuff with you because we've been on with you for half an hour. We still got some stuff to cover. But really quickly, what is your opinion on the debt crisis this country is facing right now? Do we raise the debt ceiling? What is your opinions on that?
Well, I would like to own a snowplow at the moment because we're certainly getting a snow job from the White House.
That's for
when you dangle the threat that people are going to lose money from Social Security, that veterans aren't going to be paid, that Medicare isn't going to be taken care of, that those Medicaid recipients aren't going to be taken care of, and it's all bogus lies. I can't believe nobody's challenging this man on this in the media, although I really shouldn't be surprised. The media in this country is so stinking liberal, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we were just talking about that earlier. I mean, and
they're lies, they're scare tactics, and sure enough, what happens today after this speech that we saw last night that made me want to throw up? The switchboard at the congressional offices locked up today from people calling because the president told them to call.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I also see, I'm very disappointed in most people in this country, and that is, we had said 2 years ago, we've got to get control of this national debt. Well, if you get control of the national debt, that means you've got to make some cuts somewhere.
Right.
If you, I mean, all of a sudden, for some reason, we're under the thinking, if we tax the rich, I guess we're not spending too much after all. That's not logical.
No.
And so, anyway, I hope Republicans stick to their guns. If we have to default, we default.
Right. I absolutely hate that tax the rich argument because it doesn't work, number one. I mean, it just, you can't, I mean, they're already paying for, like, how much percentage of the taxes right now. And I think people were like, yeah, we got to get control of this debt, but it better not affect me. I mean, it better affect my neighbor or somebody else. And people, you know, have to be accountable when it comes to these things and realize that, hey, I'm not going to get all these benefits that I got, you know, last week or whatever for my life. You're going to have to make sacrifices because bottom line is America has lived a very, at least in the recent years, has lived a very government-dependent life. And we need to see more independence from the government, and it's easier said than done for a lot of people, but there needs to be something done about it. And you know what? I joked with you on the phone last week, and I just want to say thank you. It's not to you, it's to your peers for keeping the debt up to $14 trillion. So thank you for that.
Well, a lot of that happened long before me, right. I can tell you that, my friend. Right. As a matter of fact, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is responsible for a lot of this that's taken place with the debt. He put this nation in debt. You check your history, and I would encourage your listeners to check their history and find out how effective Franklin Delano Roosevelt was as a president.
Mm-hmm. I
challenge people on that, because people just automatically assume FDR, he was a great man.
Awesome president.
He used government funds to put people to work. And where are those organizations? Where is the WPA? Where are all of these groups that he had formed back then and put people to work? Mm-hmm. They're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. And that's because government is not the solution to the economic problems in this country.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing a couple weeks ago on my first show, and I talked about how the teachers teach in history that he was one of the greatest presidents of all time. But then I said, you know what? Now we are finally seeing the horrible effects of what his administration did, because maybe back then we could afford all this Medicare stuff and Social Security stuff because the population was much lower. But now you get 300 million people here, and you have to pay for all these citizens for all their benefits, and we just don't have the money. And we're finally seeing why government cannot get this big, because when it does, it can't afford it.
You know, I would rate Harry Truman higher than I would FDR.
Me too. I would rate...
I really would. He's a Democrat, and I don't rate any Democrat high.
I would rate Jimmy Carter higher than Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I don't know, that would be tough, but how many...
I'd have to hold my nose to do that.
So I like to thank you very, very much, Scott, for joining us.
You're more than welcome. I always enjoy talking politics, Zach. Mm-hmm. So anytime.
Thank you, Scott. I'll be in contact with you shortly. I got to get a new intro. This whole music thing, and then just the Zach Hilversen program is not working for me.
Okay.
I'll be in contact with you shortly. I just got to think of a script first and everything like that. So
thanks
a lot, man.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, Scott Lanner and the Zach Hilversen Program. The number is 651-964-2589. We'll segue right into one of the most controversial debates now. People are comparing it to Martin Luther King Jr. and the whole civil rights debate. It's gay marriage. And I want to, first of all, full disclosure, this is my opinion. This is not the opinion of my family. I debate my parents with this all the time, and you know, I've read a lot about it. I've tried to change it, but here it is. I'm Catholic, so Catholics are looked at as gay haters and gay people should be dead or whatever, even though that's simply not true. My Catholic beliefs are basically saying that gay marriage should not be legal at all, and that's fine. They say that gay marriage should not be legal. It's okay to be gay, you just can't have sex and things like that. And I think we have to look at the fact that, you know, the reasoning behind it is that sex is for procreation and love, and there's a reason for it, and that's why you can't have sex. So that's why. And we're looking at now the debate as it gets more and more heated. And I want to, first of all, defend my faith, because guess what? It's very traditional, and that's why, you know, it's very simple. That's why I don't believe in gay marriage. I think my beliefs are a little bit different than the Catholic Church, and here's why. I don't believe that the United States government should be involved in marriage at all. I don't believe that there should be marriage, very, you know, whether it be same-sex couples, homosexual couples, whatever, there shouldn't be marriage under it at all. I'm not the only one to believe this. The first person that I found that actually agreed with me was a guy by the name of Cass Sunstein, which some of you would know as a very dangerous person, but then I later found out that other people besides Cass Sunstein agree with it. And that is, you know what, why is the government even recognizing marriage? Marriage is a word that's rooted in religion. It's a sacrament. the sacrament of holy matrimony. I mean, that's just it. It's in religion. Whatever religion you are, you have a marriage ceremony. And personally, and this is a very controversial belief, and I'm not saying that the couples don't love each other. However, I don't believe that a marriage where the guy says, and by the power invested in me by the state of New Jersey, I now pronounce you man and wife, I don't believe that's a real marriage. I think people love each other and that they could be together forever, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that I don't believe in state marriages. I don't believe that they are any way official marriages. And you can debate me all you want. But the fact is, unless you're getting married in a church, you're not getting married. You're getting, and if you want to call it a civil union, if you want to call it whatever, go ahead. But marriage is a religious word. It's a unite between a man and a woman under God. Done. That's a church thing. That's not a state thing. That's not it's a church thing. So I don't believe in marriage at all. So that's also including same-sex stuff and opposite sex. So I hope that's somewhat fair, because it's saying, hey, you know what? You can't marry, but neither can anybody else. And it has nothing to do with the whole, now gays want to marry, we just shut it off, kind of like an immature little thing. It has everything to do with, why if somebody is very, very hot, if some woman is very hot, very sexy, and she can get any guy she wants, she finds a guy, she gets married, she gets tax breaks, while some ugly, fat, hairy woman who can never get a guy to save her life doesn't get married at all in her life, and she has to pay more taxes than the very hot chick. I think it's kind of discriminative in a way. So that's another thing. I don't get the whole marriage thing in general under law and things like that. If you want to talk to me about it, 651-964-2589 is the number. 651-96-HELVY. It's a little controversial belief. Now, I'm going to take, for the rest of this segment, the black and white issue of gay marriage should be allowed, gay marriage shouldn't be allowed. There's a group called FCKH number 8 that basically is trying to make gay marriage legal. And they launched a new campaign against the state of Minnesota, putting a thing in the Constitution that bans gay marriage. They released a little video on YouTube, and I found the bleep version, but the word that is rooster, the C word, C-O-C, and then you can finish it, is not bleeped out. If you do not like it, cover your ears. If you have a little kid in the room, probably shouldn't listen, but yeah, most of it's bleeped. And FCK is, of course, short for that one word. And you'll hear, I'm going to play this pretty much whole video, and I want to. I'll probably pause every once in a while and respond to it. But I think it's a very important video to talk about, because a lot of people have seen it and a lot of people are talking about it. So here it is, FCKH8.com.
That's so gay.
Yo, have you heard about that f***ing awesome upcoming vote?
To change the Minnesota Constitution
and ban marriage for those f***ing
homos. The queers want to get married?
Marriage needs to be protected.
And studies show
letting those f***ing homos
get hitched
will only cause more straight people
to get divorced.
Divorce.
The top 5 reasons
to ban gay marriage.
Reason 1.
Homosexuality is completely
f***ing with the laws of nature.
Just like antibiotics.
Pop-Tarts.
And over-the-shoulder boulder holders.
And besides, those gays
f***ing choose to be that way.
The same way straight people
choose to be straight.
Reason 2.
My church doesn't believe in gay marriage.
And this is America.
My church makes the laws.
Homos are f***ing abominations.
The Bible tells me so.
It also tells me it's okay. Okay.
To sell my daughter into slavery.
And to stone people
that work on Sunday.
So it's great for making laws.
I'd just like to say really quickly, I bet if you asked them where in the Bible it says this, they would have no clue. I'd like to know. I mean, there is so much misconceptions about this, but, and there's some lies in here, but I will say they probably have no clue where that is, because they've probably never seen a Bible in their life. Reason 3.
Homo marriages
are not real marriages.
Hello, because
and scissoring.
Having babies.
Just like it's against the law for those
menopause chicks to get legally married.
Aw, can't make babies. Can't get married. That's the law.
Yo!
There aren't real marriages because there aren't under God. That's true. It has nothing to do with whether or not you can make babies. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with a man and a woman under God. That's the definition of marriage. If you want to call it a civil union, if you want to call it anything else, go ahead, but it's not a marriage. I'm sorry. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you can make babies or not. So menopause chicks can have marriages because it's a man and a woman under God and it's natural issues. Sorry.
Reason 4.
Gay marriage will only let the gays
recruit more people to go homo, homo.
The same as how hanging around black people makes you blacker.
Hey!
Yo, what's up, homie?
The gayness is super contagious. Just like being left-handed. Don't let them touch you.
Now, I want to say really quickly, no, I don't believe having gay people will make other people gay. However, I do believe that if you hang around a lot of you know, I don't want to say black. I mean, they say hanging around with black people will make you blacker. I will be honest with you. That is true in some cases. I know a few people just off the top of my head who, if you are, you know, if you hang out, will tend to gain that type of talk and things like that. So I will say, yes, in a way that's true. Reason 5.
Bitches!
It's fucked up
when gay couples adopt kids.
Abandon my straight people.
Kids need male and female role models.
Which is why if you're single,
it's against the law for you to raise children.
Better to be an orphan orphan than have two mommies.
So hold the fuck up.
Don't be hating on the homos.
You got a problem with gay marriage?
You.
You want to cock-block a loving couple?
Out of 1,700 legal marriage rights.
Just because they both have cocks? I'm gay.
I'm straight.
And we're standing together to f***ing hate.
Join the fight for equal marriage rights.
Yo, every time this video is liked on Facebook
or tweeted on the Twitter. Twitter.
Hate.com will give 10 cents up to
$10,000.
$10,000!
To the fight for equality
in Minnesota. We've raised
over $250,000 through t-shirt sales. Get your gear, get involved.
Dudes marry dudes.
Chicks marry chicks.
Don't be hating on the homos.
Straight against hate.
That's so gay.
Born this way. You like it with some bling?
Do goody in a hoodie. Stick it to them.
Push some buttons. Show them your point of view. And band together to f*** hate. Yo, get gay for the cause at fkate.com.
We ship t-shirts
around the world.
Por todo el mundo.
Oh my god, I'm tons f***ing Facebooking this.
If I grew up gay, I want to get married someday.
Okay, wish I would have looked away. Here's the deal. First of all, one of the major controversies that's getting gay people away from this video is the fact that at the end, when you hear that thing, that's actually two boys, probably 11 or 12, kissing. Weird. Really weird. You know, I'm sorry, but come on. You need to put that in there. They don't even know if they're gay and they're kissing. Like, I don't get it. But I want to talk about just the whole gay movement. And I think if I'm a Christian who's maybe open to looking into gay marriage and I'm on the fence about it, I don't think I'm going to change my opinion after watching that video. I think the whole gay rights movement is going the entire different direction. They're going against what they should be doing. It's not mature when you watch a guy in a parade walking down with a rainbow Speedo. Okay? You know, and I think these people keep shooting themselves in the foot by trying to promote this stuff by making videos like this where they're swearing constantly. Some of them are in their just underwear, and some of them are in shirts and underwear, and it's just really, really nasty to watch. Very immature. And I don't understand what they're really trying to do with this. I just don't. I don't get why they go with this. I mean, I love, like, really warm colors like bright yellow and bright pink and purple and blue and things like that, just like the, you know, everybody else. But come on, I mean, that's way too much. I'm just saying, I was going to get a seizure. You can check the video out. The link is there. But, you know, I just like to stress, people, if you want to get gay marriage passed, please find a different way of doing it. You know, don't be mature about it. Be, you know, show a couple, show a gay couple that is, you know, very successful. There's plenty of them out there. And say, this is Jerry and Ted. They've been together for 20 years together, and they've been both very successful. They're happy and they're healthy. Don't show a bunch of older teenagers dancing around and swearing and basically attacking the Bible. What is that supposed to do? You know, I don't get it. And especially when they're attacking the Bible, they're hating on the Bible, let's be honest. So they're saying to F hate, even though they're hating, and I've never understood groups like that. That'll do it here for this week's show. Number six, or the email address is zachhalverson@hotmail.com. Email me what you think. Tweet me. Follow me. Like me on my fan page, facebook.com/Zach Halverson fan page. And get to know me. Hopefully you like the show. This has been the Zach Halverson program right here on the zachhalverson.com. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And have a great day.